Our present meditation is on how to love God. It is impossible to read the sacred scriptures, Old Testament or New Testament, without realizing that what God most wants of us is that we love Him. A time of retreat is a time for many things. To look back over the past, recent and distant, to see how well we have served God, to look into our present situation and see how well we are serving Him now, and especially to look into the future and ask ourselves, how can I improve so as to do better? What should I remove that stands between me and God? What should I introduce into my life in order to give myself more fully to the God who made me? In all of these admittedly desirable purposes belongs to the what of my spiritual life, or if you wish, to the how. They do not as such touch on what is the lifeblood of Christian perfection and the foundation of the spiritual life. This is the motive behind my actions. In other words, why? Why should I be humble? Let me change the accent. Why should I be humble? Why should I be humble? Why should I be poor and chaste and obedient and prayerful and self-controlled and meek and generous with my time and patient and diligent? None of these are according to my natural inclination. So why should I? The underlying reason for everything in our moral and spiritual lives should be the love of God. And quite frankly, in God's reckoning of things, it doesn't matter all that much of how much I have done. It matters a great deal why I did it. A young boy, Dominic Savio, was canonized for heroic virtue when he just entered his teens. A long lifespan, I can speak with more security now, is no guarantee of being holy. It's the intensity with which we do whatever we do. And another word for that intensity is my love of God. God wants us to love Him. Christ could not have been plainer than when he said, "This is the first and the greatest commandment. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with thy whole mind, with thy whole heart, and with all thy strength." Then just before he left the earth in visible form, on the shores of the Sea of Tiberias, he engaged Peter. So as you reread that episode, you are a little surprised. Jesus did not call him Peter. And did Peter ever notice that? From having been named the Rock, he behaved like a marshmallow. When therefore they had breakfasted, remember, I like to tell this, especially to the cooks, Jesus made the breakfast. Jesus said to Simon Peter, "For that Simon Peter is John," and now quote the Savior, "Simon, son of John, dost thou love me more than these do?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, thou knowest that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, dost thou love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." A third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, dost thou love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him, "For the third time, dost thou love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee." He said to him, "Feed my sheep." What was Christ doing except teaching Peter what Peter and his successors should teach the faithful? And here, there is a shift in our focus. And the key to this meditation, that loving Christ is loving God, because Christ is God. I do not think it is stressing the obvious when I say that not all the faithful, nor even all priests and religious, are as clear as they should be about this cardinal premise of our religion, that in loving Christ we are loving God, so that we can change two words in the commandment of the old law and can legitimately have it read in the new law as follows: thou shalt love Jesus Christ with thy whole mind and with thy whole heart and with all thy strength. Since God has become man and Jesus is God, in loving him we are loving the God who made us and fulfilling the principal purpose of our existence. I repeat, I don't think I am emphasizing the obvious. We are justly concerned with imitating the Savior. We must. We study his virtues. We seek to implement and somehow duplicate what he did in our lives. But all the while, we should remember this Jesus, he is not only imitable, he is adorable. And therefore, we may and should direct our adorable love or our loving adoration towards him. You may recall in the life of Teresa of Avila that after some years of having grown in the spiritual life and risen by then to some heights of mystical experience, she got the not so bright idea that maybe having so concentrated on Christ, she might, and she says this to her embarrassment, sort of graduate from Christ to God. I didn't read the Spanish, but did Christ ever give it to her? You so and so. Who do you think that I am? And in today's theological climate, which is sifting, as we know, down into the rank and file of the faithful, there is so much emphasis on Christ's humanity as to make some people wonder, is this what Thomas called him, our Lord and our God? This meditation, I assure you, is no luxury. It is not an afterthought. If loving God is the main reason for man's existence, the principal object of our devotion in loving God should be the God who became man and who remains man and will be man for all eternity. How to love God in the person of Christ. How are we to love Jesus Christ so that by loving him we are satisfying the primary reason for our being in the world? We are to love Christ with our whole mind. This means that we strive by all means to have Christ on our minds. In fact, it all starts there. In practice, this means that we try to think of Christ as often as possible. He will be on our minds if we put him there. And I would add, and keep him there. This will call for no small amount of mental discipline to keep ourselves mindful of the Savior. Recalling his words, memorize his saying, if I can recommend one resolution, I recommend this one. Memorize as many sayings of Jesus as your mind can hold, and you'll be surprised, if you want to, how much that mind can contain. Reminding ourselves of the mystery of his life. Coming before him in the Eucharist, so that our minds can be directed to him instead of as they naturally are to ourselves, to be mentally engaged with him whenever we can be disengaged from creatures. I've heard that our present Holy Father, over the years, as you know, he's published a great deal. By preference, he would write before the Blessed Sacrament. I like that. Now I have the highest authority in the Church. Or something I was doing, not quite on the sly, but I wasn't quite sure it was all right. So that as I was writing, I would ask, well, what do I say next? Loving Christ with our whole mind means that we make sure that the thoughts of Christ and of the things of Christ enter our minds. And we have all but sovereign control over what enters the mind. Secondly, we are to love Christ with our whole heart. This means that we take every opportunity to speak to him. We talk by preference, in case you haven't been told, to the people we love. We tell him that we love him. St. Francis de Sales, in his masterwork on the love of God, says this is the surest, simplest, and most effective way of growing in the love of God. Telling him in the person of Christ, I love you. To love Christ with our whole heart means that we tell others about him. Even as conversation with a person is a fair sign that we love that person, so conversation about people is an index that we love them, because we talk about the things that are on our mind and in our hearts. We want to share this love with others, and it won't take too long for people to recognize we're in love. We should learn to associate all our daily actions with sentiments of love for Christ. Many of the things that we do, he did. The sun we look at, he saw. The earth we are walking on, he trod too. The water we drink, the air we breathe, the food we eat, it was God in human form who did all of these things. And one reason he did them is that we doing them centuries after him will think of him and associate what we are doing with what he did. Every creature we touch or that touches us should be a catalyst to inspire us with an act of love for Jesus. Finally, we are to love Christ with all our strength. This means that we show our love for Christ by our service, by our efforts, our exertion, our work, and how I like this, by our fatigue. This, in practice, means especially what we do for others. No matter how trifling or menial it may seem to be, it is not for nothing that Christ identified himself with those whom we serve, because in a profound sense, when Christ became man, he took on all of humanity. Only one human being is hypostatically united with the Word of God. But the flesh he took and the body that he now has is earth of our earth. and flesh of our flesh, so that in serving, especially with our body, other human beings with their bodies, we are exerting ourselves in our love for God. I would like to close with a prayer of Saint Francis of Assisi. This is my fourth year in teaching a course in Franciscan spirituality. As I may have mentioned, I was brought up as a Franciscan by my tertiary mother. I disappointed her. I became a Jesuit. But for Francis, the arch-realist, Jesus is God, and God is Jesus. Grant, O Lord, that the sweet violence of your most ardent love may disengage and separate me from everything that is under heaven and entirely consume me, that I may die for the love of your infinite love. This I beg of you, O Son of God, who died for love of me, my God and my all. Who are you, O sweetest Lord, and who am I? Your servant and a base worm, I desire to love you, most holy Lord. I have consecrated my soul to you and my body with all that I am. If I knew what to do more perfectly to glorify you, this I would do most heartedly. Yes, this I most ardently desire to accomplish. O my God. Amen. And Francis was speaking to Jesus. The spiritual life is marvelously simplified once we realize why God became man, to make it easy for us to love him. That in loving Christ, we are loving no mere man. We are loving the infinite God who has made us to prove our right to be loved by him for all eternity by spending ourselves. And the word is spending ourselves exhaustively in loving him here until he calls us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.